Good evening and welcome to The Real Truth, a podcast where we dissect the history of the world and explore the factors that have created the society we have today. In today's episode, The Evolution of Racism, we will explore the book Stamped by Jason Reynolds and Ibram Kendi and other sources, and their discussions about racism throughout the centuries.
Pulling a quote from the book Stamped by Jason Reynolds and Ibram X. Kendi to begin, page 16, quote, "Race has been a strange and persistent poison in American history. Race is like an alligator, a dinosaur that never went extinct, but instead evolved. From the very beginning of America's independence, multiculturalism has very much been the heart of various political, economic, and social issues. The author refers to this poison to almost emphasize the severity and the negative effect that diversity has had on American history. The truth about this poison is that the racial hostility that came from it was a fabricated concept initiated by the white man in order to achieve economic prosperity. Kendi and Reynolds make the comparison of issues following race to that of a prehistoric predator, which illustrates how the issue has been America's constant combat and how the evolution of the species could only lead to different variations of the same problem. While persistent influences of this poison do not pertain to the US's history of enslavement of African Americans today, it does implement itself in areas such as America's criminal justice system, social norms, and the morality of the American people. It is evolved, it is mutated, and it has left a foul taste in the mouths of powerful politicians and decision makers who instinctively favor white privilege over equality due to former values and biases. The quote elicits how prejudice attitudes in the United States have changed over time, yet it has not been completely flushed out of the body of every American.
This leads us to our question that we will explore today. To what extent has racist ideology remained the same or has changed? Based on research, since the 1490s, the extent of racism in America has mainly not changed. Yet, racist ideology has evolved due to notions in pop culture, morals and religion, and economic factors.
To start off, we're going to bring up media portrayal and how pop culture and media portrayal has supplied Americans with prejudiced ideas that aid in the enduring race problem.
So going back to Stamped, and talking about pop culture that was mentioned in the book, we have the quotes on page 126. "While Tarzan put the racist conquering of Africa and Africans on the screen, Planet of the Apes stoked the racist fear fire by showing the dark world rising against the white conqueror." Tarzan and Planet of the Apes are fundamental in American movies, but their truth of white propaganda is what Kendi and Reynolds seek to address. Through entertainment and pop culture, elites have devised subtle methods to instill or revive feelings of white supremacy. This method of transmission regarding systematic beliefs provides reasoning for the evolution and continuation of them. TV shows and movies targeted at children that conceal these undertones of African-American inferiority are scattered throughout the media, delivering the enduring racial stereotypes generation after generation.
To add on to that, and speaking of propaganda, early propaganda around the Cold War and World War II has really affected the elderly of our day to have a really closed mindset, and how we can also talk about how early propaganda has preached values of nationalism, and this is why our older generation tends to have different values than younger generation, than us today, actually, than us, and how they tend to be more closed-minded when it comes to learning about different cultures and different ethnicities and accepting different nations and to have everyone live as one.
I agree with you, Dunia, and I would say that another instance where propaganda is shown is can actually be connected to a current event today with COVID-19 and the pandemic around the world. With COVID-19, there's been an increase in hate crimes against Asian Americans. and the media portrayal of this is quite similar and depicts this in a negative light. But this reoccurring racism in media is a pattern that has not changed since the beginning of the nation and since the beginning of the world. And although hate crimes acts are being passed to try and review these hate crimes and stop them, and they try to oversee these efforts, and it is a step in the right direction, this portrayal in the media is a reoccurring pattern that we keep seeing. And in this way, racist ideology still persists, and it has not changed since the beginning. And another current event or another instance in where this has been shown in media portrayal would be Disney and racism within the movies and other medias that they've created. In Disney, such as the Aristocats with the depiction of certain races in their cats, or Beauty and the Beast, or even in Lady and the Tramp, they depict certain races and certain racial stereotypes that still continue to today. Now, although according to BBC.com, they have added more restrictions and age limits to protect younger generations from these stereotypes, which is another step in the right direction, it still persists and perpetuates these ideas of racial stereotypes in media, and the media portrayal of these races has not changed, which supports this idea that racist ideology still persists and the exploitation of race still occurs throughout the years.
Yeah, Charlotte, that's a really great example of stereotypes in media. Media also portrays false information that fuels racism. And a great example of this would be Malcolm X. Malcolm X was an anti-racist civil rights activist in the mid 20th century. His tactics toward equality were more violent than the more well-known Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he urged his followers to protect themselves by any means necessary. However, Malcolm X's methods were incredibly inspiring in Stamp. Reynolds and Kendi state, Malcolm X's death rocked the Black anti-racist followers, especially the ones populating urban environments. He'd instilled a sense of pride, a sense of intellectual prowess, and a sense of self into many. After his death, the media continued to portray him as violent, aggressive, and dangerous, while his main philosophy just meant that Black people should be able to use self-defense against police brutality. This rocked the nation for civil rights activists and their followers, but the media was portraying something that was completely different. This misleading media is still present today, such as the Black Lives Matter movement. The media portrays only the violent protests, while data from Harvard Radcliffe Institute suggests that 96.3% of events included no property damage or police injuries, and 97.7% of events involved no injuries were reported among participants, bystanders, or police. A great example of racism in the past was in the 1920s with The Great Gatsby, which is a novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The 1920s was a time of economic growth in America, where people were buying goods for wants instead of necessities. They had increased employment and they were settling down with their families. However, racist ideology was still very present in this time period, and it showed in the novel by the character Tom Buchanan when he states on page 13, the idea is that if we don't look out, the white race will be utterly submerged. It's all scientific stuff. It's been proved. It's up to us who are the dominant race to watch out, or these other races will have control of things. Throughout history, white people have tried to prove Black inferiority through science, yet each time it's incorrect. In Stamp, Reynolds and Kendi discuss the climate theory, which states that because Black people lived in hotter climates, they were inferior, and if they moved to colder climates, they could become white. This theory tried to prove Black inferiority through science, but it was based on false information, and this same concept is seen centuries later in the 1920s.
Cassie, I really like what you brought up about social media and how it tends to portray things that are happening in a different light. For example, the issue between Palestine and Israel. I'll bring up two different social media platforms that say two completely different things, and one that will say, that is saying something accurate. For example, CNN has brought up that the Israel and Palestine conflict marks its deadliest day as a scene of horror unfold in Gaza, while Fox News says Israel blasts Bella Hadid for joining pro-Palestine march. And then there's a news outlet called Al Jazeera, which is based in the Middle East, that says Israel committing war crimes in Gaza, as a Palestinian FM tells the United Nations. Without a careful understanding of severe issues in Palestine, many people around the world, especially in the U.S., have mislabeled the war crimes committed by Israel as a common clash between two religious groups, and some news outlets have even turned it into a little celebrity moment, as Fox News did, completely distracting people from severe issues that are going on in the world, especially with this. This is absolutely, a lot of CNN actually has brought up multiple times that this is a clash between the Jews and the Muslims, which is absolutely false. This is not the case at all, and it's been proven and it's been seen multiple times that this is obviously war crimes being committed against a group of people, or in other words, an ethnic cleansing. And it's just crazy to see how social media has made and kind of removed the serious issue at hand and made us look into what they want us to see instead, and what they want us to believe versus what we should believe and what is actually going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think another, speaking of media portrayal and false portrayals of certain issues, and misleading information, important symbols that I believe have some certain power in the media that should be discussed are, one of them is the American flag. And this flag has been known for many years to represent freedom and liberty and a land of opportunity in America. And for most Americans, this is upheld in their experiences. However, in other cultures and other circumstances, this can be, especially for people who have been oppressed, or for people who have had intergenerational cycles of poverty or disadvantages. This can be a symbol of oppression because the system has worked against them or it is not in their favor. It favors the white men. And because of this, the media portrays it in a certain way when it could mean a different truth for other people. And in this way, it's misleading, and racist ideology has been perpetuated and has not changed because of it. And another symbol that's important to address is Columbus Day. It's very similar, I believe, to the false portrayals and misleading information, because lots of people have associated this day with the birth of America and with the discovery of America and a new land and opportunities and freedom and economic gain. However, this day marks the day that a mass genocide occurred and land was stolen from Native Americans, where Columbus came and enslaved people and brought diseases to the world. And he did not really discover it because they were there in the first place. Other people sailed, like the Vikings, and discovered it beforehand. So the media has a very powerful effect with the way people think of this day and the American flag, and to other people like immigrants, African Americans, minorities. This day and this and the American flag is a symbol of oppression and a day that remembers this oppression. And in that way, racist ideology still occurs and still happens today.
Yeah, definitely. The Christopher Columbus journals have a lot of notions surrounding religion that is like a very prominent element within those the journals. So, which leads into our next topic, how values and religion have aided in the continuation of racial prejudice against minority groups. On page 18 to 19, stamped, quotes, the Portuguese now saw enslaving people as missionary work, a mission from God to help civilize and Christianize the African savages. If I parallel this to a quote in the Christopher Columbus journals, quote, I realized that they would be people better freed and converted to our holy faith by love than by force. Europeans use religion as sort of a license to inflict pain among minority groups, such as African Americans and Native Americans, as the stereotypes of savagery and inferiority became pretty widespread. The relationship between the slave and the white man is portrayed by the advantaged as missionary work, similar to that of Christopher, who explains how Native Americans would benefit from being converted to holy faith. This brings forth not only the idea of European superiority, but the myth that non-whites require saving. White Christians have constructed and sustained a project of perpetuating white supremacy that has framed the American story and continues to influence the morals of American citizens today.
I like what you said about how religion was playing a huge role in inflicting pain on others. Another event in history that can connect to that really well is actually the Spanish Inquisition, which was the influential Catholic Church going out and punishing all non-Catholics throughout Europe and the Americas. And this was around the 12th century, and it lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it was known for its brutality, its brutal behaviors, and its persecution of both Jewish and Muslim groups. And it's just crazy to think about how the Catholic Church went above and beyond to go and hurt these people that just have a different religion than them, just because they believed that theirs was the superior one, which also adds a lot to racial prejudice and how religion plays a huge role in racial prejudice and dividing people and our society.
Yeah, going along with the lengths that religious groups would go to spread their religion, Manifest Destiny is a 19th century belief that the expansion of the U.S. throughout American continents was both justified and inevitable. And this belief was greatly supported by religious missionaries who wanted to convert Native Americans to Christianity and Catholicism. Although this term was made in the 19th century, this belief was based since the ideals of colonization. They were taking territory from natives ever since they first colonized America. And in the 1800s, westward expansion into native territory spiked after the Louisiana Purchase. At first glance, this was very beneficial for America. In The Significance of the Frontier in American History by Frederick Jackson Turner, he states, the existence of an area of free land, its continuous recession, and advance of American settlement westward explain American development. This quote basically just states that America developed because of westward expansion. However, this view of westward expansion is very limited. It's as if you are looking through a telescope. If you're only zoomed in looking at the positives, you're not seeing the full event and its issues. Westward expansion caused thousands of natives to lose their homes and restricted them the rights for many years. And while westward expansion did occur for economic gain, religious conversion for the natives was a main factor as well. And this shows that the lengths that religious groups would take to spread the religion, even though it caused thousands of natives to suffer.
You bring up a lot of good points, Cassie. And to support your argument and like add to it, I would say that imperialism and conversion is another important religious context to examine. So in the late 1800s to early 1900s in history, America and Britain began to colonize and spread their business and economic pursuits across the world. This was in the form of the Race for Africa, imperialism in India, and the spheres of influence in China. But however, for the Race for Africa specifically, Western imperialist nations raced each other to conquer every nation in Africa in the hopes of not only economic gain, but also the chance to spread Christianity and convert the savages to save their souls. And in their writings, especially in the white man's burden in history, they depict Africans as savages and lost souls that have little humanity and need to be saved because of their very small ways. And the burden of the white man in this form is to save these people by converting them and teaching them religion, which is a truly racist ideology that has remained the same since the beginning and still remains prevalent today. And these ideas that were created during imperialism and because of conversion still exist today within stereotypes and the superiority complex of religion. And another important religious context that is in a current event today is the persecution of Christians in Iraq. So this has been an event and an ongoing fight that has lasted for several years and has only just begun to settle down, however, until 2020. And then the persecution of the Christians began to flare up again, which created a hostile and threatening environment for those who practice their religion in the country. And this is an example of the superiority complex that stems from religion and the persecution of others who don't practice that one religion. And this has been a pattern reoccurring throughout history and shows very little change in this racism ideology, in this racist ideology, because people still use religion as a weapon even today and always have. And they base their racist ideas off of this religious, these religious superiorities. This leads us to our next discussion of the economic foundations that the United States is built upon and how it contributes to and upholds racial stereotypes. And within the United States, one of the earliest beginnings and examples of this is slavery. And this can be shown, this is shown within Stamped. To quote on page 42, quote, "The British disapproval applied pressure to the American slavery system, which was the American economic system. And in order for America to feel comfortable with continuing slavery, they had to get away from, break free of Britain once and for all," end quote. This quote shows the economic reasons behind slavery, the reason that it was needed, because it was in fact the main form of economic profit and of gain. However, this exploited an entire race, and the effects of using these people for economic profit and gain has not changed and is still shown in prevalence today. These disadvantages, because although they were the ones doing the work, they never got any of the credit. They never actually benefited from the system. And this is still shown in economic circumstances in America today. They still do not benefit from certain economic systems in capitalism and any other place. And this stems from slavery. And as a result, these racist ideologies still persist.
Yeah, showing how these disadvantages have stemmed from slavery goes into the Harlem Renaissance with many creators such as Langston Hughes. The Harlem Renaissance was a revival of African-American culture, specifically in urban areas. And Langston Hughes made a poem called I Too. And this poem goes over two main points. And one of the main points connects to what Charlotte was saying. That the foundation of America was built off of African-American slave labor, yet they are not recognized for this, and they get even less because of it. But the second point is that America does not provide the same rights and freedoms for everyone, even though it's supposed to. The separate but equal ideologies and policies were put into place in the 1920s during the Harlem Renaissance. And Hughes discusses this because while it says equal, it did not provide the same freedoms to Black Americans as it did to white Americans, and cause it to be harder for Black Americans to succeed in America.
Yeah, definitely, Cassie. African Americans have always faced prejudice, but society has failed to allocate credit where it is deserved. From Stamped on page 25, quote, "You are either dirt folk or church folk, everyone working to grow on stolen land. Obviously, their native neighbors weren't happy about any of this because their world was being broken while a new world was being built, planted one seed at a time." This exemplifies how racial prejudice was woven into the economic system during colonial times, as Reynolds explains how native land was being utilized for cash crop growth. It exhibits just how African Americans were being used for America's own economic prosperity during earlier history, even though that is not exactly the case anymore since slavery has been abolished.
To connect to all that, actually, let's look at a more a very present situation that's been going on, which is how the position of where African Americans used to be, taking over a majority of the workload and the economic prosperity of the United States, to how that is majority of Hispanics, how many of them are now taking over blue collar jobs and trade jobs, and just how it's not fair that they have been taking all this job pressure and actually been the backbone of the prosperity of the United States now in the 21st century, and how they are still experiencing racial injustice and people yelling at them to go back where they came from. And it's just upsetting to see how positions have changed as time has gone on. And it's even more upsetting to see that we haven't grown as a nation to not look at people that way at all. And another thing to talk about is how the absolute, like the official backbone of the United States economic just success in general, like where Wall Street began, where all these huge companies began, was because of Native Americans, because this was originally their land and this is stolen land. And because if we didn't take their land, there would be no America, there would be no American economy, and how they don't get the credit that they absolutely deserve for taking care of the land here just in the United States, and not getting the credit for us just taking it away from them without giving them something in return, because we took away something, gave them a little piece of it, and as years pass by, we're taking more and more away from it and not providing them with any benefit, even though they gave us this huge starting block to create a prosperous nation.
Ultimately, the extent of racism in America has not changed, but this racist ideology has evolved because of these notions in pop culture, because of morals and religion, and because of these economic factors that we have discussed. This concludes today's episode, The Evolution of Racism, of the podcast, The Real Truth. Thank you for listening, and tune in for next week.